Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, everybody. Paul Dottino and Howard Cross with you from the Giants Quest Diagnostics Training Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey. We'll be here for the next hour to take your comments and questions about New York Giants football. If you'd like to give us a call, it's 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Or if you're too shy to give us a call, you can always hit us up on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. I am at Giants WFAN. He is at Howard Cross 87.
Who's shy?
Good
man,
to see you.
Man, these people ain't shy.
Yeah, no, they're not. They're always ready to chomp at the bit and talk about their team, and I don't blame them. They love their team, and that's a good thing. We'll be here again for the next hour, as we are each and every weekday, beginning at 12 noon Eastern time, to talk about the Giants. Howard, just want to get a couple of things quickly out of the way. Giants are back out at practice. As Coach McAdoo said, today, Thursday, is the most important practice of the week because this is the first day that he's had all 53 on his roster in full pads to actually go at it hot and heavy during the course of the week in preparation for the Cowboys.
Well, that's nice. I think he's just doing something for the press there. I think that Thursday's the most important day because Thursday's usually the day that you hit the red area.
Yeah.
Offensively and defensively.
Situational.
Yeah, you get more in the situational. You do a little two-minute in on Thursday. Friday usually kind of breaks it down in the goal line and stuff, but Thursday's the day that you get a couple of the important parts. Monday's more like you're installing the basic runs between the 20s, and then Thursday's when you start to really focus in on going into the end zone. This is what most teams do. And on Friday, you're touching everything up and then hitting them with special teams. And Saturday's you're just doing the walkthrough.
Well, actually, I know McAdoo said he has another name for it, but Friday's going to be another recovery day like they had last year. He did give it a different name. But there's not going to be much at all. It might even be a walkthrough, which was a little surprising to me, but that's apparently the way he wants to go. And then he said he wants to ramp them up again on Saturday as they get ready to go to Dallas on the trip.
Again, with these wonderful schedules that you have to put together, I don't fault McAdoo, Belichick. I don't anybody in the league that you got to do this. That's your thing, man. God bless you.
All right. In any case, the Giants are looking forward to their Week 1 season opener in Dallas on Sunday, 4:25 for the kickoff. We will go to the phones momentarily. Just want to make sure we get the injury report out of the way. It is Darian Thompson, the rookie free safety out of Boise State, who has been limited by a shoulder, but he has done some work at practice. The Giants, of course, are penciling him in as the potential starter. Nat Burhe got a lot of work last week, Howard, because of the injury to Thompson, and he actually acquitted himself quite well.
Yeah, Burhe did a good job. You know, it's one of those things where last year we were going into the game, last year the Giants were going into the season, and they weren't sure what the safety situation really was. They had one kid they just drafted in Landon Collins, and they were trying to, you know, mix and match and how we're going to get guys in there, and no one was healthy. I think Burhe was injured. Everybody was injured.
Yeah.
So only Collins was the only healthy guy on the field. This year they got three or four guys that are healthy that are playing the safety position, and now they have options and some depth there. That is good to have a couple guys. You know, those guys also play special teams and everything else. And it's good to have guys and an important part of your defense that you can rely on, that you can call on.
The other guy in the injury report yesterday was linebacker Jonathan Casillas. He's got some sore ribs, but he was able to work on a limited basis. And I know he's optimistic about facing Dallas. Should he not be able to go? Well, the Giants really have a mixture of veteran linebackers now who are able to share a bunch of snaps.
They got a ton of linebackers. They're going to share some snaps. I think Casillas is a guy that we're looking at. He was really becoming like a, you know, to be quite honest, he was becoming the leader of the linebacker core, and they're still waiting for him. And, you know, again, I don't know how to explain the bruised ribs things or the cracked ribs thing to people, because I don't think they understand what it is. Like, you can't breathe sometimes. It depends on where they are on your body. Are they going to affect your lung if they get worse? It's a really weird thing. Like, I played with them, and I've had to, like, take it slow with them as well. So it's a little bit of anything. But, again, there are going to be a lot of linebackers out there. I think, you know, with Shepard, he could do some things on the inside. He may be called on to play a little bit more, not just two downs every once in a while, getting that third down situation. But I think that alone is going to help out the team.
Well, good news in that the last 2 weeks, JT Thomas was able to come back from his hamstring injury and give them a lot of snaps at outside linebacker, so at least they have him. And, of course, Keenan Robinson also, who had been nicked up with a hammy himself or a groin 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. was able to come back against Patriots last week.
Yeah, Robinson did a great job in the pass game. You know, he got some range, and that's the thing you look for in linebackers. Unfortunately, in the league today, we're so specialized. We get the first and second down linebacker.
Yeah.
You get the third down linebacker. You get the guy who can only do certain things. So we're constantly trying to specialize year in and year out to find that guy that can do one thing instead of finding football players that put them in the game and they play football.
All right, Howard, let's go to the calls.
Nice.
Ken from Trenton, you're first up on the show. Hello.
Hey, Howard. Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm very good. Hi. How are we doing today?
Good. I kind of wanted to talk about Dak Prescott. I had called last week and said I was more worried about Dak Prescott than Tony Romo, and I didn't really elaborate too much on that. But basically, my mindset, and I think most Giant fans' mindset, is the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. And we know Tony Romo. We don't know this Dak Prescott kid. There's not a lot of film on him. Yeah, he looked good in the preseason, but we haven't done very well against mobile quarterbacks, and this kid's mobile. And I think if we flush him out and get him uncomfortable, he's gonna have some big runs that I'm a little bit worried about. Now, I think this year we have a better shot at winning a division than any other team in the division, basically because of the rookie quarterbacks on two of our divisional rivals teams and the improvements on our defense. But we still can't run the ball, and we still have a lot of running backs. And according to the media, not necessarily true, but according to the media, if you have four or five running backs, you don't have one. I don't know how true that is. Like I said, I'm 150 pounds. I never played football in my life. I'm a diehard Giants fan. I really hope that everything works out this year. A lot of us had our foot in our mouth last year. We thought it was going to be great, and it obviously wasn't. I'm really looking forward to the game. I'm really looking forward to watching our defense finally shut someone down. If they're going to do it, this is the week to do it. I'm looking forward to Giants hard-hitting defensive football. I'm a Giants fan because of Lawrence Taylor, and I haven't seen that in a long, long time. And hopefully we'll get to see some of that on Sunday.
Well,
thanks for taking my call.
Thank you so much.
So there's a lot to get to there. But let me start out with the Lawrence Taylor comment.
Yeah, because you won't see another one.
That is not in the league anymore.
No.
There's this one. You know, and as great as he was, Carl Banks was, you know, I don't think people really appreciate how great of a player Banksy was. Banksy was tremendous. And those guys today, they're linebackers. I mean, not linebackers, but they're defensive ends.
Yeah.
They got their hand in the dirt. To Dak Prescott, I will answer that for you because, you know, unfortunately for the New York market, you guys don't watch college football. You just don't follow it. You don't follow the Notre Dames, the Michigans. You're not into the SCs or the entire SEC, which a lot of players are in the league this year. There were SEC players last year. And Dak Prescott, he had a decent run in the SEC, not last year, but the year before. They were like, oh, he could be a Heisman candidate. He could do a lot of different things. And then once the tape got out on him, they just amped up the pressure. Now, the thing that people aren't thinking about, he's going to turn around, and the guy who's going to be screaming and yelling, getting in his ear, will be Dez Bryant. If you can double Dez and shut Dez down a little bit early in the game, then he's going to be all over Dak. And, like, Dak never had a guy like a Dez Bryant that's going to be demanding the ball, not just in the game, not just right beside him in the huddle, but on the sideline. And that's a lot of, that's a lot of pressure for a young quarterback. If the Giants come out and score early, okay, no problem. If the Giants come out and score again and Dez hasn't gotten the ball yet, there will be a show. Bring your popcorn to watch that one because there will be a lot going on over there. And that's not, and that's not being – meaning to Dez, I mean, that's just his personality.
That's
who he is. And that's not something that you want on your, for your young quarterback to have to deal with. He's a talented kid, but a lot of pressure on him could be a problem. But definitely stay in your lanes and double Dez. make everybody else play. And if Dez's not getting the ball, that by itself could unravel the game.
Yeah, you know, Prescott had a very good preseason. I only caution people that we all know game planning doesn't happen in the preseason. And I Howard, he's got terrific legs. He's elusive. He's strong. He runs like a running back. I've seen him throw a pretty nice ball as well. So Prescott has skills. I don't think anyone wants to take that away from him. He's got some skills.
Oh, yeah.
But it's this whole package that Howard's talking about, the intangibles, the leadership skills, the poise, all of this stuff. You don't just go to the store and grab that off a supermarket shelf. It takes experience.
Well, you're not going to be able to go into the huddle and tell a player who's like highly energized, that's a veteran, that's the star of the team, hey, man, I'm coming to you. Calm down.
Yeah.
And like, you put your hand on Dez, like, calm down. Like, are you touching me, rookie? You know, that could be the response he could get, especially if things are tight. So,
yeah.
You know, I hope that the Giants score on him early a couple times. I hope Dez hasn't gotten the ball. And I'm looking forward to seeing how, you know, not just Dak handles Dez, but how Dez handles the whole thing. So, I think the Giants have a good shot. I think probably more dangerous than Dak Prescott is Ezekiel Elliott. Stopping him early, making them have to throw the ball
right. And
have to get the ball downfield, that could be a problem. But if you
don't forget about Alfred Morris either.
Yeah, but the running game in general. If you can't shut their running game down and cause it to be more than third and seven, like third and eight, third and plus, eight plus, then that's when, you know, he has to hold the ball longer because you can't just dump it. You got to go down the field
sure. With
it. And if you can get that going on, that's the issue that he could have. If you don't stop the running game, then he's just going to be out there doing what he's doing you see all preseason.
Sure. AJ from South Carolina, you're on line two and next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I know, the Giants or Cowboys play, it'd be a story game. Who I win this game, call out to a defense.
Well, you know, AJ, I mean, if you look at the history of the Giants and Cowboys games over the last several years, there have usually been some fireworks, some crazy plays,
yep. Some
dramatic finishes.
Yep.
And so I think that, as Howard and I said here, and I don't want to speak for you, but I don't think we're going to see a 17-13 game. There's going to be more points than that.
I think there's going to be more points than that, but I don't know, again, because it's a lot of new situations here. You got a new coach from on the Giants side, Coach McAdoo. You got a new quarterback over there and a new running back. I think they are going to try, in their mind, they need to control the clock. So that by itself leads to a lower scoring game. If the Giants come out and score first, then there's more pressure for them to score. Mm-hmm. If the Giants score twice, then it's a lot more pressure for them to score. The reason why there have been such high-scoring games is it was out of necessity. Romo's throwing the ball all over the field, causing Eli to have to throw the ball all over the field. And this game might be a different game from the standpoint. There is no Romo. There's not going to be a tremendous amount of long balls coming out of Dak Prescott unless, again, the running game's really working in the play-action pass and go down the field. You'll know why things are happening if you see them that way.
This is clearly one of those games, Howard said, you want the Giants to get a jump early if you're a Giants fan, where that really will have a significant impact on the game.
It definitely will.
And if Prescott starts having to throw a little bit more than he wants to, that could lead to turnovers, which then gives the Giants a short field, which could lead to more points.
Every rookie quarterback who has had great success in the league has a great running game and a really, really good defense.
Sure.
So if one of those things fell for him, he'll have a hard time.
Yeah. AJ, thanks for the call. We go to Scott in D.C. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Very good.
I have two questions that I hope Mr. Cross can address, and then one for Paul. The first one to Mr. Cross is, you know, in my opinion, since Tiki Barber left, the Giants have not been able to execute the screen pass very well. Mm-hmm. They just don't do it well for the last 10 years. Now, whether you agree with me or not on that point is not really my question. My question is, Mr. Cross, what do you think the three most important things are for a screen pass to work well?
Before Howard answers that, I do want to throw Ahmad Bradshaw in that mix because he was post-Tiki Barber, and he would sometimes run the screen, and he was pretty explosive.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, whether you agree with me or not that they do it well, and in my opinion, they just don't run the screen very well for at least 10 years. But put that aside. I'm just asking the player for his experience on what are the three most important things to make a screen pass work. That's number one to Mr. Cross. Number two, I just want to try and get an idea of, you know, in a typical game plan, on average, I'm not talking about any particular week or any particular game plan, but on average, how many different running plays are in the game plan on a given Sunday? Is it 10? Is it 20? Is it 50? Is it 110? I understand that, you know, the same run can be run out of different formations. I appreciate the intricacies of the NFL playbook. I just maybe want to get a sense, if you can give to the fans, how many different run plays are in the game plan on a given week. So those are two questions for Mr. Cross, and then I've got one for Paul.
All right, easy. The first with the screen pass thing is very easy. Screen passes are only effective if there's a good defense of line and are getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. If the defensive line is getting blocked constantly, then you're throwing the screen passes to a guy who's standing beside the guy you're blocking, and he's usually going to make the play. So that's number one.
True.
Number two, if there is a very good pass rush, then it's easy to let the guys come upfield. You got to chip them, but let them upfield. The back gets the ball, and then that's when the fun starts. Now, in the old rules, the lineman would run up and just throw himself at the defender and roll down the field with a downfield block. Back when Tiki was playing, that was still the rule. The rules have changed. You don't get to go up and throw yourself at the legs of the defender on the outside once the ball's kind of crossed the line of scrimmage. I think that's a penalty now.
Yes.
So
safety issue.
Yeah, so that's changed the game quite a bit and the way the screens are played. The other thing is that you need to be able – the back himself will have to make the lineman a blocker in space because he's blocking – a smaller, more athletic guy. So you have to lead the athletic guy to a position, give the lineman some leverage, then you go to the other side, and that's where you get your points. And there's probably one more point that people don't realize. It's a math equation that happens during screens. And for the normal fan or for someone watching the game, think about this when you're coaching your kids. It's always a math equation. There's usually one guy standing between that ball carrier and the sideline, and he's blocking one guy. If you cut back, there are 10 guys that want to tackle you,
yes.
And there are 10 guys on your team that are standing back there as well. So it's always a math equation that people seem to forget. And for the second one, the running game itself, it's not what fans would think. The playbook probably has 200 or 300 plays in it, or maybe more than that. The run plays are designed to combat if it's a 3-4, if it's a 4-3, if they play a lot of under, which means the tackle slid under on one side, they play a lot of over, he slid over to the strong side. It's geared towards the defense that you're seeing and what they do the most. If they blitz a lot, there are run blitzes. Mm-hmm. You have to have your running game set up to come, you know, it's a chess match, so you're combating what you're looking at constantly. Hopefully.
Okay, and then one quick question for Paul. Back in January, I called and I made a prediction that there would be 30 new players on the roster from opening day in 2015. I'm trying to figure out the number of new players on the roster for opening day in 2016 compared to a year ago, and I'm having some trouble figuring out whether Will Tye was on the roster at the beginning of 2015, whether Orleans Darkwa was on the roster at the beginning of 2015.
Darkwa
was. JPP
was not
counted among the 53, and then Robert Thomas, Burhey, and Mikael Thompson.
No, JPP was not counted because he was not signed. He did not sign until midway through the season. You cannot count him as part of your 53. Darkwa was here. Mikael Thompson was on injured reserve, so he did not count as part of the 53. Burhey was on injured reserve. You don't count him as part of the 53. Was there another player you mentioned?
Yeah, there were two other players I mentioned, Will Tye and Robert Thomas.
Robert Thomas, I don't believe, and Will Ty, I do think he was.
I think he was a practice squad guy.
He was not on the 53.
Was he active?
So that means that they've got 24 new players on the roster that were not on the 53 at the beginning of last season. That's 45% turnover in personnel.
Okay.
24 out of 53 players. That's a big turnover.
No question.
I hope the old ball coach can manage all that new personnel.
Well, first off, it's a new coach, so new expectations, and I think for fans to think about this, you know, even though McAdoo was here, he was coaching the offense solely, and now he's in charge of the team. So when he comes in, just because you were on the team the year before, doesn't really do anything for him. He's got to win and put himself in the best position, protect himself. I think Bill Parcells got rid of a lot of guys finally when he started doing it.
Ooh.
I think Dan Reeves, when he came in,
he did too.
He made a huge, you know, get some more new blood in, get some, not necessarily new blood, but get guys, you know, get some of the wood out that was there. It's not dead wood, just I want to change the way my apartment looks. I need to change the furniture. I want to hang some new drapes. and I think that's what happens. And I think the biggest thing for a player, and you're talking about turnover, the biggest thing for a player, if he wants to play in the league and stay with a team, he's got to be ready, willing, and able to adapt to when someone else steps up. In this new age, only the Pittsburgh Steelers really stay with their coach.
Yeah,
in this
right.
new age, coaches change every 4 to 5 years. A lot of them change every 2 to 3 years, and you just don't know who's going to be calling the plays. You might have the same head coach for more than 3 years, but you'll have a different coordinator. So every year, they're trying to find that new elixir to make things work better for them.
I think, to be fair, too, you must understand the Giants haven't made the playoffs in 4 consecutive seasons. And so when Coach McAdoo looks at what he's got in front of him, he goes to Jerry Reese and personnel and says, okay, guys, I need a fresh start here. We need to upgrade. So
I think he did some of that. But, you know, remember that he has to go to it. First, he has to establish his coaching staff.
That,
right?
too.
As he establishes his coaching staff and he gets his philosophy of what he wants done, then he has to go back to the coaches and say, hey, help me review this roster. Tell me what we need.
Right. Can they do what we need them to do?
Not even can they do what we need them to do. Tell me what we need.
Yeah.
And then they go through it like that. It's definitely a business. I don't think fans truly appreciate the business end of it when that's going on. That's a tough moment.
Oh, sure. No question. Mm-hmm. Well, Scott, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yep.
That was a very thought-provoking phone call.
Absolutely.
Levon from Atlanta, you're on line 3 and next on the program. Hello.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, Howard?
Hi.
Hey, how we doing, Levon?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say, as a huge Giants fan, I'm really looking forward to the game on Sunday against the Cowboys for numerous reasons. Kind of like what you said, it's a new coach, new regime, kind of sort of new tendencies. This was Tom Coughlin's team for a very long time. And I noticed in the preseason, I taped all of the games and watched them many times since they aired, that I noticed a lot of pre-snap penalties, false starts, illegal formations. I remember that Coughlin came in and we had the same problem before he got here, and he fixed all of that. I just hope we don't revert back to that same undisciplined football team that pretty much beat themselves without having the other team to do so. But what I wanted to say was about the Dallas game. I think everybody needs to, because you know everybody's going to talk about Dak Prescott. The strength of the Cowboys is the offensive line. It's been that way for the past at least 2 or 3 seasons. And I'm not a coach, but I watch a good amount of football, and I would say what they should do coming out, being at home with a rookie quarterback, first-round draft pick, being a running back, good offensive line, they're going to try to stay in front of the chains, run the ball, get to favorable second and third, and then let the kid, you know, dink and dunk or use his legs to move the chains and milk the clock. So if the Giants are smart, which they are because it's my team, they are going to, you know, plan for that and use Snacks and Vernon and a rejuvenated JPP and prevent Ezekiel Elliott from getting, you know, 4 and 5 yards on first down. And hopefully Eli's offense is fixed, and we can get out and actually jump ahead of them and force the kid to beat us, which, in my opinion, should end with us getting the win for the first time in week one in a long time. And I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that.
Well, Howard, he seems very logical.
Oh, the best laid plans, right?
I think
that a lot of this is going to be, the first thing you have to do is make them a one-dimensional team. Comes into the defenses, right into the defense's hands. They will have to – Snacks and Vernon and JPP will all have to step up and force that running game and big man. Hanks, they're going to – force the running game to be stopped almost non-existent, which is a big ordeal because you get Ezekiel Elliott, like you said earlier, Paul, Morris is back there as well. So you have two big running backs that like to run, and you have a big offensive line. If you can figure out how to stop and shut down and make those first and 10 to second and 10, second and 9, then you start to add pressure to their team. Then if you can get them to a third and 7, 8, 9 plus, then you've added tremendous pressure to the team.
Sure.
The dinking and dunking won't happen because you got to get the ball down the field. And the way our secondary's been playing and our safety's been playing, if you dink and dunk, you catch and a tackle is what's been happening all preseason long. So that's going to be a bit of a chore for them, no matter how you look at it. On the other hand, the thing I would think is, you can't give the quarterback all day as well. I mean, you can stay in your lanes, but you can't give him all day because all day somebody will get open.
Well, and I also think, given the fact that Prescott's making his real pro debut, so to speak, preseason, I'm going to put that aside, I don't think he's going to be afraid to run with the ball either, Howard.
Running with the ball is like – that's a 50-50 proposition. He wasn't a – that wasn't his main goal when he was at Mississippi State.
No, he wanted to throw.
He wanted to throw the ball. And when he ran with the ball – he got dinged up a lot.
He did.
He got banged up every time he would go down the field. They were putting hits on him.
It looked like though in the preseason, the clips that I've seen, he wasn't afraid to run in the preseason.
Yeah, but he wasn't like running like you think of running. When I think of running, I think more of Cam Newton running
he's a different animal entirely.
Guy. But this is more of a Russell Wilson thing, kind of like skirting around the edge, up and trying to get a quick slide. Take what you can get, kind of thing.
Right.
He's athletic enough to do that part.
Well, I think the point I'm making is he's certainly capable of scrambling for a first down on third and six.
Everybody is, but it's those big runs. Like everybody's talking about RG3. This kid's not RG3. He's not gonna run off. But he can get 7 or 8 yards. He's smart enough to get his yards and get down.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate the call. Thank you. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. I believe Armando from Florida is next on the show. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good.
I had two questions. One, I was watching a video on Will Beatty yesterday, and, I think Will Beatty, on Pro Football Focus, he was one of our best running blockers on our team before he got hurt. He had one bad year, and my question is, I'm just thinking, do you think he can beat out Newhouse on the right side and Newhouse would be our backup because that's what he was supposed to be coming to the Giants?
I think that's on Will Beatty. I think that the fans out there who've been calling for Will to come back and they've fallen in love with Will Beatty. I think that he played it. He got to play in a good year. I think it was Super Bowl. He played there.
Yeah.
I think they're in love with the thought of that. But again, that's got to be Will Beatty. If he was the guy that you were in love with, they pay him, which they did. Then he stays with the team. Then he was away from the team for a while. But I think you have to think all the way through it. Don't just go back and. Take the snapshot and, hey, look at this picture. Weren't we happy? Yeah, if we were happy, it would be a movie. It wouldn't be a snapshot. So you're taking the snapshot and you're trying to make the snapshot who the person is. I'm hoping that it's more of what you're hoping for. That's what I'm hoping.
Well, the way he was talking in the video, you can tell he has something to prove. He really wants to play football and he really wants to show everybody that he's a starter in this league, and I feel like you. What's that?
No, he's going to say something. I'm going to let you finish first.
Go ahead.
And then I just had one more question, too, on the safety position. Don't get me wrong, I'm in love with Nat Burhey. I mean, he's a very good safety. As far as, like, he's a missile, you know, you can see it in the preseason games, he's a missile. But I'm kind of worried because he's playing free safety. He's not playing strong safety, he's playing free safety. And I'm just worried because I know Darren Thompson, he plays the ball very well. I don't know about Nat Burhey because I was watching some of the preseason games and he plays the run very well. But then again, he's not a free safety. He's a strong safety.
Well, don't rule Thompson out of the game yet, though. I mean, he's limited right now, and I believe, as far as I understand, he is trying to practice today. So don't rule him out yet. We don't know that Burhey's going to start against the Cowboys. Thompson may still wind up being the starter.
And also,
I mean, it'll be great too. Like if they had that three safety package with Deion Grant, I remember when we won the Super Bowl against the Patriots. I mean, they could use them that way. That would be great, you know. But I just don't think Nat Burhey is the free safety that plays the ball in the air. He's a great run stopper.
I'm not really sure how they're going to use him, but I would look for something that kind of showed up a couple of times. They had three corners on the field at the same time. I thought that was kind of interesting. With Eli,
even
Apple.
Even four.
Yeah, Eli Apple
with Leon Hall.
Yeah, and Hall. With Eli Apple being on the field, making three of your best cover guys out there at the same time, and it wasn't like a quote unquote third down kind of scenario. They were just putting them out there. The free safety, strong safety conversation in the past has been very notable. That one guy goes back and he's the ball hawk from sideline to sideline, and the other guy comes up and he plays the run. That's a great way to kind of imagine how football would be played. But remember, if I'm a quarterback and I look up and I see the guy, okay, well, that's the strong guy, that's the free guy back there, then I motion the guy I want to get the ball to the strong guy's side. And I'm like, okay, now what are you going to do? So that would mean that the strong guy would have to run all the way across the field in order to play the strong position, or he has to back all the way up to put himself in a free safety position. And if he can only play the run, or he's best get the run, and he's weak in coverage, you can, by motion alone, you can take him out of the game and you can make him the weakness and go after him.
Yeah, so the point that Howard's making, it's not as black and white or as simple as you think it is.
No, what happens is that, you know, everybody here is a football fan. Everybody's watched football for years. And they're used to the quote unquote standard names like ball possession. You got to have great ball possession. You got to keep the ball. Like, okay, well, ball possession is great. You can hold the ball for most of the game, score 10 points, and the other team can score 30 points. Ball possession didn't do you any good.
No.
Yeah. So you got to be adaptable. You got to be able to quote unquote grow with the game as quickly as possible. And I think these guys are, you know, they're doing it. I think this is happening. I think Burhey and Collins, both, which would be quote unquote, the standardized strong safety, they're not necessarily strong safety, especially Collins. He's starting to be able to play the ball more.
Yeah,
I was really surprised on who's the other Thompson that's a safety right now.
Michael Thompson was under injured reserve last year. Mm-hmm. He got injured. He's also in the mix, but at the moment, I would say he's the fourth safety on the depth chart behind the other three guys.
Yeah.
It was just a huge surprise that he actually still on the roster. I mean, he's very quick.
Very quick and athletic, and he's got some length to him.
Yes,
Howard.
He's a little bit taller.
Like so him on specials.
Yeah. I mean, you know, anytime you can get in the game, like I said, the more you can do as a football player, when it's time for you to be that specialty guy, you can actually get a chance to do your job.
Anyway, just one point before we let you go. You mentioned Beatty. He's got 63 starts in his previous 6 years with the Giants before they separated and now have had the reunion. So, obviously, you know, he's got some resume and some accomplishments in this league. But understand, because he's been out now for many, many months, they're going to have to work him in before he can even begin to compete with Newhouse. It's not going to happen overnight.
So, basically, in this, you said 6 years of Giants, 63 starts, which means he's roughly missed a quarter of his time with the Giants. He wasn't on the field a quarter of the time.
He did have injuries earlier in his career, no question.
Okay. Go ahead.
But the way in his video is he actually, you know, talked to the reporters and he said, you know, I'm not done with football. You know, he could have stayed. He could have been off the team. He could have been Like, once he said he was healthy, he said he could have found something else to do.
I get that, but...
he really wants to play football. So he told everybody he has something to prove, and I think we'll see it in the football field and starting on practice today in full pads.
Well, thank you guys for my call.
You know, thank you guys so much. Right. You guys do great, and Paulie, you do great too, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Well, Howard, go ahead.
My last thing on that is that's, like, again, I'm always about, you know, show me. And again, I'm not saying that Will can't do it or Will won't do it or any of that. I'm hoping Will does it. Remember, snapshots versus movies. You got a snapshot of a person doing something well for a moment, and then that time is there, and then life keeps moving.
To maybe clarify for the caller, Howard, let's just say player X has been out and hasn't been in a camp all summer and now comes in at this particular time. Realistically, from a football perspective, we always talk about being in football shape. How soon does it take player X to get into football shape where he can even begin to think about competing for a starting job?
Bosa is an example. A young guy, no injuries, no anything.
Yes, he's clean, healthy.
He's clean and healthy. They're saying he won't be really ready for the first game. So they'll try to put him in a couple of spots, but he's not going to get to play. The safety at Kansas City, leaving my name, they wanted to franchise him.
The Pro Bowl guy.
Pro Bowl player.
Yeah, I know
he overcame cancer.
Right. Barry.
Yeah, he was great. Now, they're saying he may not be ready for the first game. So there's a part of that to it. But I think what fans should realize is that, like GMs and everyone else, when they look at a player, what you see on tape is who that person is. But that person, unfortunately, usually doesn't get a lot better from that first tape. You know, when you come up and you show up, you ran a 4.7, you ran a 4.6, you ran a 4.5. That's the best you that you show up in is in the combine. Then after that, you start putting years on your body.
Right.
The football players are the only one of the only sports I can tell you that you can see some players age by game. Some players age by season. Some players age by, you know, years. But you see them age. Like, a great example of that is Calvin Johnson. Megatron was the greatest receiver. I'm like, this guy's going to play. He's going to break every record known to – I'm done. Tap out. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I want to be able to walk around and play with my kid. I'm like, and it's just – that's it. And now with the way that the league is and how many players are saying, like, they're really concerned about their health and – how they're going to do, and, you know, life after football, they're really, really squeezing down the time. I mean, there's not a lot of old guys in the league. The old guys are either kickers or quarterbacks. And everybody else, you know, you got your time in. And, again, that goes back to the thing that I keep telling people. It's a business. It's about the money.
Yeah.
So once they get their money and they have a target amount in their mind, they step away.
All right, let's go to Twitter for a couple of comments here. I'd want to catch up on some. Mm-hmm. Partunga Salzer says, I think he means Dante Dion, is a better corner than Trevin Wade, and Leon Hall is a liability. Of course, Dante Dion is on the practice squad. Mm-hmm. Trevin Wade has made the 53, and Leon Hall is on the 53, was cleared from concussion protocol, and is practicing this week.
Well, I know that Dante, you know, has a little bit of a rough run at the end of the preseason.
He's only about 5'8 and a half.
Yeah, they were going
after him. He's a small guy.
But Wade.
But I like him.
Wade made a lot of plays.
He did.
All preseason, he made a lot of plays, and he was on film a lot. Hall, you know, I'm waiting to see what Hall does.
Remember, he had off-season back surgery, so he's also got to come back from those injuries you talk about.
That's what I'm saying. I'm waiting to see what Hall does. The snapshot of Hall is that, hey, man, this guy's a high-level a player. He's going to give you a lot of plays. He's going to make plays. He's an excellent slot defender. That's the snapshot. And we're way a back surgery away from the snapshot.
Right.
So, again, I'm waiting to see, you know, what's going to happen. And I always tell people, there's a reason why you're out on the street for a little bit. There's a reason why you're able to be picked up by other teams. If you can't get your money where you are, if someone else is willing, well, you're better than what we got, they'll bring you in. It's not always you can add. You're better than what we got.
Right.
But sometimes what it is.
Nicholas Manga says, what do you two see as the biggest philosophical differences between Coughlin and McAdoo?
Biggest philosophical differences between McAdoo and Coughlin. I think it's just, to be quite honest, I don't think people kind of get may get this, may not get this. I think McAdoo's more relatable to the millennials. That's the famous term that everyone uses, the millennials. Whereas Coach Coughlin was more of the father figure to the guys. So it didn't have anything to do with millennials and relating to them. It was like, hey, I can – you're like, I got you, Coach. Yeah, Coach, I got you. Where it's McAdoo's relating and understanding that it's kind of like going to work and wearing a tie and a suit, or going to work with an open collar, or going to work in khakis and a golf shirt. Like there are like three or four ways to go to work, and Coach McAdoo is closer to that younger open collar age of guys.
Would it be safe to say if Coach McAdoo was like a father figure or an uncle that maybe Coach McAdoo is more like a cousin?
I don't know about the family relationships that much. I just know that Coach Coughlin is the old school. You know, he was coaching when I was in the league.
Yeah,
he was on the team when I was a rookie. So he has that, you know, that part of the gravitas that makes guys kind of, you know, listen to him when he's talking, and they listen to him for a different reason and a different perspective. In business, they're like, you know, show up with someone with gray hair, and they know you mean business because they think that there's experience behind those grays.
We have a New York Ken for Life. New Yori Ken for Life says, Howard, please explain the difference between a blocking tight end and a receiving tight end.
There is no difference between a blocking tight end and a receiving tight end. The problem is that in this day and age, and you're going to see this even more and more the longer you watch football. When I came into the league in 89, it was, you know, two tight end offenses, one tight end offense. You're running the ball. You had great running backs. Walter Payton had just, you know, done what he had done. You had Emmitt Smith. You had a lot of great running backs. Back even Riggins, go even further back, right? We played the 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah.
We made fun of the Detroit Lions. They ran that spread offense, no tight end on the field. That will never work. That's not football. That will never happen.
You remember the run and shoot when Warren Moon was throwing it?
They were calling that the run and – that's the run and shoot. Oh, man. And we were like all like thumbing our noses at these offenses because we were like, yeah, but you need to be able to run the ball. You need to be able to – and now it's like – your run sets up the pass and all that great stuff.
You know what, Howard? All my problem is I still want to run the ball.
But now that's all gone. Like, look at ESPN. They have on shows with no running backs or the running backs doing very little. They have 7-on-7 camps of the top high school students getting ready to go to college. Like, kids are getting recruiting letters and getting, hey, yo, would you commit to us on 7-on-7?
Yeah.
They haven't done any football at all. They're running 7-on-7, and they're getting commitment letters, not just to like little schools, like the major colleges. Hey, Harbaugh's like, hey, you want to go to Michigan? He just ran 7-on-7. You don't know if he can play or not. So
I call it video game football, Howard.
No, it's just a new way that they're doing things. The run and shoot, the spread offense. Look at colleges. Some colleges, Alabama played Clemson last year, and they scored 50 points. They scored like crazy.
Yeah.
And Alabama can run the ball.
Yes, they can.
So, it's again, it's more about, you see, it was used to be your hand in the dirt, you against me. Now the linemen are standing up, hands on their thighs, and it's just the game has changed. So, the blocking tight end, he's not needed. Like, today's blocking tight end would have been a great blocking tight end would have been Jay Novacek.
Oh, boy.
Jay Novacek, who didn't block anyone.
Speaking of Cowboys, by the way.
Jay would never block anyone, would have been a great blocking tight end in almost anyone's offense. And that's a blocking tight end. That just getting away. You ain't got to knock him back.
Oh, yeah.
Just could you slow him down? Don't hurt yourself. I need you to run the route. So that's the big – like Shannon and I were talking with him. Shannon Sharp.
Right.
And I were talking to Tony. And Shannon was like, looking at Tony, he goes like, is this what our tight ends have come to? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, this guy's going
now on. You just have to be a construction cone.
Yeah, you just got to be able to catch the ball.
Like, get in the way.
That's what I said, athletes or football players. And now you're getting more athletes.
Are we to Brandon on line 4 or Russell on line 3? What do we got? Brandon on line four. You're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hi.
Hey, how we doing?
Hey, good. All right, man. I believe Will Beatty is a very smart football player. He's entering his eighth season.
Okay.
He's been in this offense before.
Okay.
I believe if he has a good day at practice, I believe the coaches should put him in at right tackle.
I believe. Clearly, you know what? I believe you, too. You know why I believe you? Because you look at the snapshot. You never look at the movie.
Right. He's clearly better than Newhouse. Clearly. I believe if we had Flowers at the left tackle, Pugh at left guard, Weston Vilsberg at center, John Jerry at right guard, and Beatty at right tackle, let that gel and let that be the offensive line.
I think they should.
He's way bigger than Newhouse. I believe Newhouse is a guard. I don't believe he's a tackle.
I believe if we could have a perfect world, this is what you should do. I think Beatty would come back and be his near Pro Bowl self. We should put him at left tackle. I think we should move Flowers over to right tackle because that's where he was drafted as, to be a right tackle. I think you still have, you know, Pugh and Richburg at the spots, and you have a battle for that right guard spot. That's what you should do. Oh, but that's fantasy.
Can I bring back Carl Nelson? Because I'd like to do that right now. Or Kareem McKenzie?
Yeah, but it's fancy.
I would like to see Darian Thompson get the start. I hope he please gets the start. You know what I mean?
Well, no. If he's healthy enough, he will. I don't know that anybody is disputing that. He's penciled in as the starter.
He's the guy.
And I have one more question. Who do you think want to call the plays for the season?
Who do I think wants to call the plays? I think everybody on the
offense. Who do you think is going to call the plays?
Going to call the plays. That I have no idea. And this is why I don't have an idea. McAdoo's from a system, you know, where McCarthy holds the plays and he calls them. Last year, he had great success with Coach Coughlin and the system they had. And I'm not sure how the call got into Eli.
Right.
But it wasn't going directly from the person who was reading the sheet to Eli. There was a person in between. Now, McAdoo's got to decide, does he want the person who's calling plays, whether it's him, Coach Sully, or whoever, to call him directly in the match?
I think that's the way it's been going in the preseason. Sullivan's been going right to Eli.
Yeah, so that would mean that Sullivan's calling it then.
Yes.
Okay. So
I think Selly should call in, and I think he should call it from the sideline because I think Eli get a better understanding when offensive coordinator is on the field with him. Because after he do what he do on the field, he always comes back to the offensive coordinator.
every coach has an assignment, and they know what they're looking at and how they're trying to get it done.
Yeah, as long as the operation is clean and everybody knows what they have to do and no one's getting in the way or conflicting with each other, they've got a way to make it work. And that's ultimately the important thing that needs to happen.
You can't have too many cooks in the kitchen when it's time
that's
to call.
That's a bad idea. Yeah. That's a real bad idea. Thank you for the call.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I hope Beattie gets to start at the right tackle.
All right.
The coaches see in practice today that he's healthy enough and he's clearly better than
We'll let him know you're rooting for him. Thanks for the call.
I hope Beattie wants to start. If he wants to start, let's see what happens.
All right. We go to line three, and Russell from Alaska, Howard.
Nice.
Hey, what up?
Hello.
Hey, what up, Pete? You hear me?
I got you.
Hey, what's going on, man? It's been a long time. Y'all was at 10 o'clock. I'm 4 hours back. I couldn't catch up with nothing out here.
Well, I'm sorry, but the training camp schedule made us alter the show time, but we're back to our 12 o'clock time now for the year.
Yeah, that's good. So I want to talk about the fan. Everybody's talking about BD, and I want to talk about this 9/11 game real quick. You know what a mastermind is? Ben McAdoo is a mastermind. I've been watching the preseason games, and one thing I'm seeing different from last year, we have less injuries. So I think he was smart enough to say, you know what, I'm going to see what the backups do, like Nassif. I want to see what he does. Eli, you're not going to play. Because he was like, I'm not going to risk these guys getting injured. So he seen what the offensive line was doing, and he realized, okay, I'll just go get Beattie back. So he's playing smart. I think Beattie will play in the Dallas game, but I don't think he will start. But I think he's going to let the first unit offensive line play, see how Nuance is going. If it's going out of hand, then he will put Beattie in for right tackle. But he's not going to start. But I think he will play. This 9/11 game is very important. I mean, he cut a linebacker to get Josh Johnson, which is a mobile quarterback, so the defense can practice on a mobile quarterback. Like, McAdoo knows what he's doing. That's why I've been quiet. I haven't been talking about the offensive line. I've just been watching what Ben McAdoo has been doing, and he's making the team his way. Howard Cross, you just talked about what's the difference between Tom Coughlin and Ben McAdoo. I just say Ben McAdoo is just Tom Coughlin's more strict. McAdoo is more, I'm not going to tell you everything yet. I'm just going to keep it on a hush. Y'all just watch. That's what I think he's doing. I'm just noticing his every move. Like, he cut Andre Williams. I was shocked about that. Like, he cut Williams. Like, oh, snap. I thought he was going to give him another chance. But he said, no, he doesn't fit for what I'm trying to accomplish.
Right. The only thing that I want to say to you about this is that Will Beattie had been on the sidelines on his own until he just got here this past week. It's unrealistic, I believe. And again,
turn your receiver down.
I know you're in Alaska. We don't want to cut you off, but you do have to turn down your volume. I think it's unrealistic to expect him to get in there and do a whole lot after just getting on campus. Howard, you could disagree, and I you played. I didn't, so I'm willing to listen. But even at his very best, if they get him prepared and he's in uniform, because I don't even know if he's going to be active on Sunday. I would think he probably is active, but I can't even imagine him getting into more than a handful of plays at most in certain situations.
Are you still talking about Will Beattie?
That's what we're talking about.
Guys, let's do this with Will Beattie.
He's got to get into football shape.
Can we give it a couple weeks and then can we revisit Will Beattie?
Yeah, that's a better idea.
Because I don't have any evidence of Will Beattie being prepared to play NFL football right now.
How could he be?
Well, I just don't have any evidence of it. And the only reason it might be because he's still recovering from his injuries. It might be because, you know, mindset. It might be a thousand things. But, you know,
Howard Cross, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying about Ben McAdoo. He's not going to tell nobody. He's just going to keep it quiet. Why would you tell the enemy what are you doing?
That's what
I'm saying. He's like, no, Beattie might not play. Beattie might play. I'm not going
to
tell you.
I know, but to talk to you about the injuries, and just so you understand that as well, that has nothing to do with the play time. A lot of different players came in, a lot of players that had a lot less injuries on their tape, talking about their past, and they changed a lot of the way that they work out and the way they train.
Yeah,
so that was just like, hey, look, what we've been doing in the past, no offense to anyone, hasn't really been working. So let's change everything up right now from the beginning, and let's get everybody adopt some new tools. And it seems to have worked. Some of that's luck. Unfortunately,
yeah.
And some of that's the change. And when you change, and I tell you another thing that people don't realize, all those players that were being that were injured and were getting injured and were coming off injuries, Coach Coughlin's first year, he came in and he said these words, "I don't believe in injuries. I believe we can coach it out." And it never went away. Now they've changed everything. Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything's different. And once you've changed everything and everything's different, now, okay, well, a lot of those guys were banged up. Well, okay, well, we appreciate your time, but we're going to let you go. Like, what? Like, yeah. So there's no more of that. So they got rid of a lot of that, took a lot of that out of the system, and then they've added healthy bodies who want to play, and let's see what you can do. So right now, you know, you guys are trying to figure out what the difference is. Bringing in healthy bodies, getting those healthy bodies to practice and get on it. And he's changed the system of when you're doing the intense practices.
Yes.
And, you know, like practicing hard on a Saturday. Who in the world ever heard of that?
I'd never heard of it.
But, you know, that's a little old school. To get a little more aggression towards the last day of the week instead of early in the week. And so it's a lot of everything. It's like I said again, every team is, and it's not just our team, every team is battling and trying to figure out a way to keep their players healthy because there's just not a lot of contact and not a lot of ways to spar and get yourself ready for it.
Okay, Russell?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Hope you get the call again. One more call left before we close the show. Joe from Pennsylvania, you would be the final. Hello.
Hello there, Paul, there, and Howard. Great. I've been able to sneak my call in. I didn't think I would be able
to. No, we were going to get to you. Don't worry about it.
Okay, talking to you, we're talking about Beattie. I think, you know, if he's in half-decent shape, I'd probably have him in, like, in short yard distance or maybe the goal line possibly. Do you agree with that? You know, he might be the best blocker up there next for us.
I think at most that's what you're looking at. You can't expect him to give you anything more than that, if that, to be honest with you. He just got here.
Yeah, okay, I'm going on. The next one I'm a little concerned about is Hall there. Is he going to be our, you know what I mean, in
slot.
The nickel there?
The slot.
Well, Leon Hall was cleared from concussion protocol, and he is out at practice, and so that's not an issue anymore. So it'll be a strategic thing, whether or not he's on the field or Wade gets on the field first or wherever they play.
I don't think people actually realize it. If you watch the preseason games, what you saw a couple of times was you saw Apple at one corner, you saw Jenkins at the other corner, and you saw Camardi playing in the slot.
Did a lot of that.
Yeah.
And
Hall was already on the team when that was going on.
Hall did some safety, too,
in summer. What I'm saying is that I know the fans are calling in and looking, but – that's a little bit of what the preseason does. It kind of lays out, like, some potential. And, like, teams are right now, if I'm watching preseason and I'm trying to go through the preseason game as the Cowboys to get ready for this game, I'm like, how in the world they got all three of those guys on the field at the same time?
I'm like,
they can double Dez and still have two really strong corners on the field.
Yeah, they can.
And so, like, that's an issue.
I agree, and like I said, I seen Hall earlier. I talked to Paul. He seemed a step or two slow, and he was holding and getting penalties. I'd be a little leery with him.
Hall's coming off off-season back surgery, and there's no question that he also got here late in the summer as well. They signed him just when camp started. So, you know, whether or not he's the fourth or the fifth corner, or Wade is the fourth or the fifth corner, Howard's point is the Giants have three guys up at the top of that depth chart who are really good.
Tremendous, not good.
Okay,
tremendous.
I want to sneak a couple more questions in quick air. Who's going to be our fourth receiver? Who's the guy that scored the last couple touchdowns? Is he going to get a jersey? I don't think Lewis is. Is Darkwood going to be our next running back to come in, like, on first and second down?
All right, one at a time. Tavares King is the guy you're talking about who caught three touchdown passes in the last two preseason games. Him and Roger Lewis would be the back two on the depth chart. You got to figure that Dwayne Harris is still the fourth receiver, although they really want to use him only on specials if they can help it. So I would think King or Lewis or maybe both. I don't know, you know, who's going to be number five, so to speak. So I think a lot of that's going to depend on what happens at practice. And Darkwa, again, a guy who plays on specials, I think coach is going to have to decide, does Paul Perkins get a jersey on Sunday or does Darkwa get a jersey? I don't think he dresses in both, Howard, do you?
I think fans, you know, think about it like this, and active players and who you need to see. When you start talking about receivers, once you get past that first four, that fifth and sixth guy, they're going to be special guys.
Yeah.
They're going to be special teams guys. As far as the running back goes, you got Jennings. After Jennings, you know, I don't think people realize, like, Shane Vereen's in his own category.
Right.
All right, so now you need a back. Can Perkins do both? You know, do they trust him enough if Vereen goes down to block in the backfield? I mean, that's the kind of thing that you got to think about. How much do they trust him? How well do you know the offense? Because that's going to be the thing that's going to
– At this
really
point, I would bet on Darkwa.
I
don't want to interrupt you, but I think what's-his-name, Rainey, would get a jersey from me first to play because he could back up Harris and be a third-bound back too, you know what I mean, and be a little leery with Perkins there. So
I agree with you.
Actives are going to be. So, hey, great talking to you.
Thank you, Joe.
You're running to the wire there. It's getting close to game time. I was wondering, but I thought King was showing so much that he might get in there with the four wide receivers, and
we never know. We'll see. It should be interesting in the next one. Who the 53 will be in the 46 that are actually dressed on the game day. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. All right, that wraps it up, Howard. We got to get back outside. A lot of stuff to do, TV programs to tape and other people to talk to. Remember, Big Blue Kickoff Live is with you every Monday to Friday from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 201-939-4513. I don't know who's hosting tomorrow. Do you know?
No.
I don't know either.
I go back to work.
But I promise you there'll be somebody here to take your calls and talk Giants football. For Howard Cross, I'm Baltadino. We'll see you next time.